So Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. This should be fun. Suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother. Anybody? Anybody? Even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate.
Next verse.
The parents must say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his town must stone him to death. Yeah. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. I told you you weren't ready for that. And with that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. Lord, I pray you open our eyes today. Lord, I pray that we see something in here. I pray that you teach us. Lord, we want to build our foundation upon the solid rock, the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, you do that. And today, as we consider things as parents, Lord, I pray that we are able to learn something, a tool to put in our work pouches, Lord, that we can use as we train our children, as we raise our children, Lord. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, interesting scripture. Okay, so as I go through and I prepare, there's different ways that maybe I draw inspiration or I kind of get started. And so I was looking at parenting scriptures. And I got to like the seventh or eighth one and I came across this. And I got to the end of it and I kind of scoffed. I'm like, no way, I'm preaching on that. And I started reading the next one and I sensed God say, why not? I said, well, read it, God. Stoning. And he says, it's my word. I said, okay. And he said, look into it. So I started digging. And I found something really fascinating about it. That's a little tease. I'm not going to get to that for a little while. But have you ever gotten to a subject, whether in the scripture or in relationships, that looks really, really hard, and you want to stay away from it, right? Maybe there's a scripture you're like, okay, that doesn't make any... Welcome to those of us going through the Romans study, you know, we crack open word like, holy cow, that is heavy, what does that mean? And sometimes we just kind of skip over it. Well, I don't know how to apply that. Why do we do that? Because I believe we're narrow-minded. Sometimes we look at things up close, minuscule, a small zoom in, and we're narrow-minded when God wants us to open our mind. Open our thoughts, open our hearts, open our eyes so he can show us what his truth is. So a lot of times we see something difficult and we want to steer clear of it, kind of like parenting. Ever had difficult situations in parenting where you're like, maybe if we just ignore it, it'll go away. How does that work for you? But we can't run from parenting. We can't. We can't just let them, good luck. We have to be a part of this. As I was thinking of parenting, I was thinking of different parents in the Bible. And one kept on coming to my attention, and that was Joseph, as in Joseph and Mary. He wasn't planning on kids yet. Jesus wasn't even his son. It must have been a little difficult, a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of, okay, what am I doing? And yet, what did he do? He protected Jesus as his own. He ran to the tough, difficult situation and he embraced it. Why? Because God was leading him. Parenting is tough. Amen? Anyways, back to the stoning part, right? That's what you're all thinking. You ignored everything I just said. You're like, okay, how are you going to get to the... I think I'm just going to keep teasing that for a whole bunch of time. And maybe like a good politician, I just won't even talk about it eventually. You know, just ignore it. I think many times in our parenting and even in our scripture, we get an incomplete picture. We don't understand, we don't see everything that's going on. We just see a little part of the story, and that's what makes things difficult. We see the obstacle in front of us, and that's what's so hard. But if we only get part of the story as we go through life, as we parents, as we understand the Word of God, if we only get part of the story, We are incomplete. We are built upon the sand and not the rock. Can you imagine going through life just never getting the full picture? You know, as I think about parenting, I either go to the scripture or I go to, my favorite movies, because those are great places to draw inspiration from, right? So think about great parenting in movies. Oh, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Yeah, it's a great one. You know, he gets the Empire Strikes Back, and Darth says, "No, Luke, I'm your father." No. Imagine if that was the end of it. Some of you have never even seen the movie. It doesn't even matter. But if that was the end of it, wow, they got a messed up family. The end. That's an incomplete picture. You got to watch the next one. And according to Disney, you got to watch the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. But it's an incomplete picture of parenting, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. How many times in our lives we just look at just a little picture of what's going on, and God says, open your eyes and look to what I'm doing. And we do that with the scripture. We have a narrow lens when we read things. But truth can be revealed. I believe our parenting can be incomplete because we use a narrow lens on our children in certain situations. We just look at, how is this going to bring any fruit whatsoever? That narrow lens sometimes is the Old Testament. We read the Old Testament, and that's all we see, that's all we draw out. But God wants to bring the whole picture. And how did he do that? With Jesus Christ. Jesus comes on to the scene, and he completes the Word of God. It was true in the Old Testament, but it makes more sense now that Jesus comes along and he completes the picture. If you have time, look at the greatest sermon ever preached in the Bible, and I'd say that's the Sermon on the Mount. And that's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if you look, I think it's a chapter 6, 5 or 6, Jesus 6 times says, "You've heard it said." So he's preaching this great message. And he's talking to the Jewish people. You've heard it said. What he's saying is, you've read and you've heard the teachings in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus. You've heard these rules and these commands. You've heard what these actions are, these laws. You've heard it said, this is what you must do. But then Jesus says, but I say. Because he brings a complement, he brings a completion to the law of action, and he goes to really the law of the heart. He wants to get to the heart, he wants to give you the full picture. And so a lot of times we look at the steps and the rules and the must-nots and the have-to, we can't do it or we can do it. We look at all these steps. Pastor, how do I raise my child? What must I do? How many times they did that in the scripture with the Jesus? What must I do? And Jesus is like, no. I'm looking at your heart. I want to go to your heart. I want to change your heart. And parents, that's what we have to focus on, is the heart of your child. How do we draw that out? How do we get the complete picture? So what does God or Jesus want us to see in the complete picture of raising our children? And you all are wondering, does it have anything to do with rocks? 3 points this morning as we look at parenting and we're looking for a complete picture. Number one is the command. There is a command about parenting. There is a command out there, and it comes out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, then God blessed them, Adam and Eve, in the garden. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Great, math, right off the beginning. Oh, man. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Be fruitful and multiply. It's a command. Have a family. Get married. Have lots of kids. It's a command. This is what you should do. And he also blessed them. There's a blessing in this. Parents, there's a blessing in this. So have kids. But along with the command is this blessing. And we get that from Psalms 127, verse 3. It says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children are a reward. Children are a reward. Keep saying that. Children are a reward. They are. They can be. They should be. And if you get through that, then you get to the grandkids, right? And it's like, okay, all right, this is good stuff. Now, spoil them, give them sugar, let them stay up late, give them back to your kids, see how they like it. Yeah, that's good stuff. We'll let Pastor Albert preach on that joyous part. But children are a reward. And as a side note, maybe you don't have kids. I'm fine. That's good. But think about that concept. There is a reward as you impact people, as you raise people, as you mentor people. I've shared it many times of the mentors in my life. Growing up when I was in the youth group at Shelleyville Gospel Church, I considered I had three moms. I had my mom, and then my future mother-in-law. She was kind of like a mom to me. And then we had one we all on the youth group called Boss Mama. That was Jen Slater. She was the Pastor Dan was the youth pastor, and Jen was his wife. And we called her Boss Mama because she was in charge, and she was going to raise you well. And if you got off track, she's gonna make sure you're on track. I was not their kids, and yet they influenced me. They impacted me. And I think if you don't have kids, this concept is still true, that we can influence, we can help raise. It takes, what is it? It takes a city, it takes an army, a village. It takes, yeah. It takes us all to raise a kid. And so we can all be a part of this. It's a concept that we must understand. So there's a command out there. Be fruitful and multiply. And I say, whether it's your kids or you're influencing, helping others, be fruitful and multiply. And when you do, there is a reward. So there's kind of the easy one. But then there's something called the challenge. Parenting equals the challenge, right? Things can be challenging. And the challenge is we are commanded to, we are told to train. I think I'm going to flip mics.
Again, I blame one of you with your device, whatever it is that's causing the interference. The challenge is we're supposed to train our kids. And training can be very, very hard. And we get that from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother." We'll do that one again. "A wise child brings joy to dad, and a foolish child brings grief to mom." You know what this is? This is the original, that's your son. Right? Or, that's my boy. Right? They had that issue all the way back then. But it says, a wise child. And the book of Proverbs is a great place to learn about parenting and being good kids as well. So if you're to have a wise child, where do the children get wisdom? Proverbs 1 begins with, "My son, listen." Where do children get wisdom from? From you, mom and dad. They can get wisdom from many, 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 many different sources. But the command is they need to get it from you. Give them wisdom. And if a child has no wisdom, as a counselor, where would I look? Oh, it's a society that's done it. Oh, it's that crazy Xbox or the TV or YouTube, whatever it is. My child has no wisdom. They are to get wisdom from you. And that is a challenge. So how do we give them wisdom? A slight detour, and we'll go into it at the end of the month. They get wisdom from mom and dad. And that requires mom and dad, you guys, working together. You must do this together. And I think it's a brilliant plan that God set up husband and wife, mom and dad, because the two of you create a great perspective. Maybe one is compassionate and caring, and one is the complete opposite of that. All structure, all rules. Both of those are good. They bring a balance when you work together. But what's required for mom and dad to raise good, to raise children in wisdom is unity. You must have some unity, mom and dad. And there's a scripture again. There's a little detour. We'll get more at the end of the month. There's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with the understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. I like that. She's your equal partner in God's reward of new life, of kids. Treat her, and this is the key, treat her as you should, so your prayers may not be hindered. Been praying and praying and praying. It seems like God's not listening. Husbands, wives, how are you dealing in unity with your spouse? That's a good place to start. Are you treating them as God wants you to treat them? And we can go into that later, of what that really looks like. But there are reasons why things don't go well sometimes when we parent. And sometimes it starts with mom and dad and disunity, when in reality, we need to have unity. Mom and dad, you need unity first in order to raise children. I hated when pastors do this, but now that I'm a pastor, it's kind of like being a dad. I hated when dad did this. Now that I'm a dad, I get to do it. So, you know, pastors always sometimes have you do things, and I'm going to make you do it. Husbands, wives, why don't you just grab each other's hand and look at each other and say, let's do this together. Let's do this together. Because that's what it takes. It takes unity. And sometimes one is more involved than the other. Or one's got different ideas. And then you're trying to raise a kid with two different concepts. What does that do to the kid? Does that create a wise child or a foolish child? Honey, let's do this together. I think that's a key. I think you must have that because it's a challenge. And we're not even to the full challenging part. Because I think once you are united, you need to be united to train. Proverbs 29, verse 15. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. So we must discipline, we must train our children. That's the command, but that's the challenge. It's not that easy. It gets a little easier when mom and dad, you work together. But not only do we train the children, but we need to have a purpose. Do you just train someone to train someone, or do you have a goal? Do you have a purpose? I think the word makes it very clear that we need to have a purpose. What is that purpose? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, your version may say, when they are old, they will not leave it. We use this many times when we do child dedication services. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. It's a promise, and that should be the focus of what we do. But as I've read this many times, I'm like, okay, God, what does that mean? I've read this before, so I zeroed in on that word old. My kids consider me old. And a lot of the teenagers are like, yeah, they're right. Some of y'all might be like, no, you're a young pup. Okay? What is old in the scripture? So I looked at that word. And that Hebrew word is used many, many times in the Bible. And I started looking at the other parts in scripture where they use that word old. And it begins with Abraham and Sarah. They were old when they had their first child. They were 90 and 100. The next time that word old pops up is their son Isaac. That when Jacob came to steal the blessing from his older brother Esau, he came to Isaac, who was blind, because he was old. Train up a child in the way they should go, because when they are 90, they will not depart from it. Wow, really? I was hoping for 45. I was hoping for 16. And yet, the Bible is saying it might be a long way off. So what does that say to you, mom and dad, in your purpose? Have patience. Have God patience. Because he has been raising his children for thousands of years. It requires some patience in training up your children. And it is a reward and it is a blessing when they are following the Lord at a younger and younger age. But have patience. I think if you are here and you don't have kids, maybe you'll never have kids, it's a beautiful picture that we all must have patience. In order to get, for God to do things sometimes in our lives or in the lives of people around us, it requires patience. And as I said at the beginning, we look at the scripture and our understanding of God and parenting. Sometimes we have a narrow lens, a narrow view. I believe as we look at this concept of patience and parenting, we begin to get the whole picture, the complete picture that that God has. And so that's our third point, the completion. We have a command, we have a challenge, and then there's the completion. This is the complete look, the complete idea of what it is to be a parent, what it is to raise children, the purpose. God, show me the whole picture. So what does the complete picture of parenting look like? We want blessings and we want rewards, both for us and for our children. We understand that somehow we're supposed to train our kids. And by the grace of God, they survive childhood to adulthood. Somehow, we understand that. But as we read in Deuteronomy, sometimes it gets beyond what we can bear. And I believe there are some of you that are going through that right now, or you have gone through that, and there are some of you that have caused that to your parents. There are challenges in this world and in parenting that can get beyond what we can bear. So God, what do we do? What do we do then? Well, I believe the answer comes from a story that we know very, very well, I believe. The prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. This is Jesus. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all the money. That's what prodigal son means, wasteful. Wasted all of his money in wild living. About the time he ran out of money, a great famine swept over the land and began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. Verse 20. So he returned to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him, and he kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. I see in this story perhaps an over-gracious father. You know, we read it and we kind of know the outcome. We go, okay, yeah, dad's making a mistake there. But I do see an evil, spoiled, wasteful, partying son. The prodigal. The wasteful son. I see evil in his heart. I see a lack of discipline. What caused it? But I also see the end of the rope. Have you ever been to the end of your rope? Have you ever been in a situation so difficult you have no idea what to do? Or someone in your life is going through that and you have no idea how to help them? I see a light bulb turn on. And once having much, losing it all, and starving, the son is at a crisis. Have you ever been at a crisis? I think it's at a crisis that God is strongest. He's the most merciful. But as I read that story, I now see something in the story I've never seen before. The complete picture. Because you need to remember in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 19, it says, in such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. I believe it wasn't just the father who knew that he had a rebellious, prodigal son, a wasteful son. I believe it's known. The other brother knew. The servants must have known. I'd say even culturally, the city knew. The leaders, the elders at the gate, culturally speaking, they understand what's going on in their city, in their village. And they understood there was evil in the heart of this son. And they had every right to obey the scripture of the law. To stone a child. But the father, he looked for his son. Every day, I believe, he got up and he looked off. And throughout the day, he looked off. Where was he looking? I'd say right beyond the city gates. He was hoping that one day his son would grow old and not depart. He was looking off in the distance going, will he come back? And when he saw his son, it says, afar off, he ran to him. And he wrapped his arms around him. He hugged him and he kissed him. Why? Because he needed to make a statement then and there. City officials, people of this town, this is my son. And I will protect him. And if you decide to throw a stone at him, you must go through me. He was compassionate and he was loving. But I think in the end, his focus, his complete picture was, I am going to protect my child at whatever cost to me. Now he allowed for this difficult situation. He gave him his inheritance and the son ran off. And I believe the dad prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But the dad also looked and looked and looked. Because why? In his heart, he had an expectation. My son will return. He understood that promise. He understood that scripture. He will come to his senses. Because what I planted in his heart long ago as a child, the love, the compassion, the wisdom, I know that will take root. And I know that will grow into something beautiful. But for now, the winds are raging. The rain is falling. But he believed in a promise in his son. And how often as parents, we go through something so difficult with our kids, we can't see a promise. We can't see this turning around. And we disengage. Now, there is room for, as we see here, for a child to go through something, to learn things and have difficulties. But in your heart, you never give up. In your mind, you never give up that this is a completely lost child. you believe that, God, you can turn this around. And you seek the Lord. God, how are you going to use me? And that day when a heart turns around, you run. You protect. You wrap your arms around. And you say, I love you. The world desires to throw stones at all of us. And sometimes our children are too young. They don't know as much. And it's our job to protect them. It's our job to put around them. Even though in their heart there may be lack of discipline. We love. We protect. When his father saw his son far off, he knew he had to run to his son, wrap his arms around him to save him. Because his son deserved death. So I think there's two concepts in this scripture. Two different groups that this scripture, these two scriptures are talking to. One is to the parents. Parents, drive evil from your children. Because that's what we read in Deuteronomy. Why did they go to such a harsh extent? What action did they take? They wanted to drive evil from the heart of their children. Parents, that should be your purpose and your focus. To drive evil away from the heart of your children. So we train them, we discipline them, we correct them, we raise them to be good adults, not good children. But most of all, we protect our children from harm. We realize that they are headed to death by the stones of this world. The world is looking to gather things and throw it at us and to crush us and to destroy us. And since we understand that, that's why we raise our children to fear the Lord. No weapon formed against me will prosper. What the world has to throw at me will not harm me. Why? Because my parents taught me the Bible. Because my parents showed me the truth and my parents walked it. The enemy wants to destroy our children. And we should be a shield as we train them, as we protect them. But we should believe they can turn their hearts back to the Lord. So that's parents, but I believe the scripture is pretty clear for all of us as well. Everyone here, you have been marked for death. Because there is evil in our hearts. You have done evil, you've done wicked things, you've had sin in your life. And the world has every right to pick up stones for your destruction. But the scripture says, look home. Look to heaven. Because your Heavenly Father is waiting for you to return. He's waiting to be there to bring you forgiveness. Yes, blessings can come when we turn to heaven, we turn home. But most importantly, Jesus will save your life. He's going to wrap his arms around you. He's going to hug you and kiss you. And say, I will take the stones of death that are meant for you. And that's when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Because he knew destruction was coming our way. And yet he loves us. He protects us. So for all of us here, we need to call on Jesus. We need to repent. We need to run home to our Heavenly Father. Parents, it's tough. But it's a blessing. There's a reward in our children. And sometimes we don't know what to do. At some point, we need to allow that, let out the rope a little bit so they can get a little further and further away, which is difficult, and know and trust that they're in God's care, that he's doing something in their heart, because that's what Jesus has taught us, that it's the heart he's working on. Parents, we need to look at the heart of our children. What is God doing in their heart? We get focused many times on the actions, the outward, the things they do. But we can ask the question, God, why? And sometimes they may stray so far from you that you have no idea how they can come back. But you can trust that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And something in their heart can draw them back. And maybe you're 90. And maybe they're 70. But God's word, God's truth can be planted in a heart. And when they're coming back, love on them. We don't have to get even. We simply need to be there to put our arms around our kids and say, I'll take the stones in your life. And for the rest of us, return to your Father. If you've brought grief to your Heavenly Father, if you've had a wasteful life, if you've ran away, return to your Father. Return your heart to Him. And I know He's going to wrap you in His arms. He's going to love on you. He's going to kiss you, hug you, and return you as a child, as a son. As the story goes on, He returned His son. He wasn't a servant. He returned Him home. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the pictures that You give us in Scripture. You are our Heavenly Father. And how You love us, I don't think we can ever understand. Because, Father, I know how many times I've turned and walked away from You. And yet You wait patiently. Because You love me. Father, I thank You for this picture that You've shown us. Lord, that this father wanted to save his son from destruction. Father, You want to save us from destruction. But we balance that with evil in the heart. Father, help us as parents to drive evil away in the hearts of our children. Lord, I pray You give us a superpower, a super sense, a super sensitivity to what our kids are going through and how the world is attempting to steal them from us, to steal them from You. Lord, I pray that we can see clearly what the world is doing so we can act. Father, I pray for the husbands and wives, the parents. Lord, some parents are single family, they're on their own. Lord, I pray for any parent, Lord, that You be our balance and You be our guide, that we listen to You. And husbands and wives, we listen in unity. Lord, that we get to the heart of the matter with our children. And Father, for us that have turned from You, I pray we turn back to You. We go back home. We look to heaven. We look to You, our Heavenly Father, because You're good and You love us. I love how many times, Lord, You've put Your arms around me and You've said, I've got You. Lord, I pray You can make that clear to everyone here that You love us, You take care of us, and You are our shield. You're our mighty fortress. And the fiery darts of the enemy will not get through. The stones they hurl will not touch us because we are Your sons and we are Your daughters. And it's a beautiful picture of the family. Thank You, Father, for loving on us. Thank You for being good to us. I pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.